narrative in all the Gospels. You have this kind of ambiguous dialogue between Jesus and Pilate about kingship. And we know that that was one of the reasons Jesus was executed, because the scroll over his head said, Jesus, King of the Jews. Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. So this business of kingship is deeply rooted. And not so many years ago, if I read this passage from John, I said, well, my kingdom's not from this world. That's very clear. My kingdom's from heaven. It's a heavenly reality I'm talking about. Well, that's rubbish. That's a total misconstruction of this passage. Rather, what we have here is what we have over and over and over in the Gospels, this inversion of values. You know, among the pagans, those in charge make their power felt. Among you, it must not be this way. Those who want to be the first must be the servant of all. And so if we apply the term king to Jesus, we have to be very careful about what we're talking about. It is kingship of a radically different, radically contradictory form to what we know as kingship regularly. Palaces, thrones, crowns, fanfares. Unfortunately, the church has not caught up with this, of course, because if you look at the symbolism of the church, the Vatican, for example, it's all majesty, folk. It's all majesty. It's gold. It's silver. It's trumpets. It's processions. It's big robes. And I'm convinced Jesus would feel totally ill at ease in that situation. So what does the kingship of Christ mean? Well, a little history of the feast is interesting. This was instigated by Pius IX, who just lost all the papal states. This massive amount of real estate that the church used to control in Italy. And then comes Italian independence, and it's expropriated. So here's the Pope, the prisoner of the Vatican, sitting there, sucking his thumb, worrying about all this temporal power. Oh my God, I'll make Christ the king. That's my restoration. You know? Understanding kingship in precisely the way the secular world understands kingship. You know? So what does it mean for Jesus to be king? No, better. What does it mean for us to proclaim Jesus as king? That's the issue. Because if we don't know what we're doing, then we best keep our mouth shut. Everybody agrees that the center of the preaching of Jesus was the kingdom of God. What's the kingdom of God? Oh, I know, if God's sitting on a big throne and we're kind of hanging around, kneeling, crawling around the throne. No. Absolutely not. When the kingdom of God comes, that means each of us human beings looks in the face of each other human being and takes him seriously. And that kind of transformation is what the kingdom of God is. It's an event. It's not a status. It's not a title. It's an event. This radical kind of transformation. So the kingdom of God means what? That the power of God animates all of us. To see everybody else as a co-human being. To see justice established on the earth. That and that alone is the kingdom of God. That and that alone is the kingdom of God. So you see how we've radically reversed the whole notion of kingship, royalty, all this rum-tum. You know, that we human beings, the older I get, the more mysterious we become. Why do we elevate certain human beings? Why? Titles, status, uniforms, positions, buildings. All that stuff conduces to some kind of pseudo-majesty. Which we all fall prey to, you know. The only thing I can come up with is that we human beings are so terribly insecure in ourselves that we have to say, somebody has to be better than me. And so we elevate in this artificial, compensatory way other human beings. So that's one of the obstructions to finding out what Jesus' kingship looks like. But to say that Jesus is king means what? That I open myself to that kind of transformative action of God. To proclaim the kingship of Christ is to say, this is my involvement. This is my commitment. This is my hope. This is my vision. This is my desire to be transformed. To be utterly permeated by the power of God. To change me. To alter me radically from a normal, fearsome, self-seeking, greedy, insecure human being that I am, and to somebody like Jesus, who's not afraid of anybody, who is open to everybody. That's the manifestation of the kingdom of God. And only that. We human beings, again, just like the Eucharist, we want to make this holy thing out there, detached from us, and we can all go bow and scrape and apparently do obeisance. No, that's rubbish. That's a displacement. I mean, it's very simple to go around groveling. It's not so simple to allow oneself to be transformed. To seek that transformation, that radical change. To become eccentric. To move the center of my life out of myself and my self-protective, self-preserving impulse which controls everything I think and do and want, to a larger life which is open to everybody. That's why we're in trouble, I think. One of the reasons, many reasons we're in trouble in the church, because the symbol system is all wrong. It's all wrong. We do not take this inversion of values radically enough. Rather, we revert to the regular, standard, secular images of power and pomp and majesty and all this rubbish. Because it's easier. It doesn't cost me anything, really. But to say that Christ is king, and not some kind of objective description of some fella out there, is to say where I want to commit my life. And the vision of this man who is there for everybody. And this man whose overriding passion was for justice and peace and real love. So we have to do, unfortunately, all this mental mechanisms, to retranslate the notion of the kingship of Christ. But if we don't, we're falsifying the whole thing. We're playing at church.